Okay, hey everybody. Connie's gonna say hey too.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yes, they say yes.
Right,
Okay.
good evening, everyone. I was just out there visiting my sister. We had a blast. Now I'm back home and we're teaching via the complicated machine called the computer.
So Cheryl, you're hearing both of us okay, right? Okay, good. All right, perfect. So we are here for Growing with NTI. Almost said Guiding Light. We are not here for Guiding Light. We're here for good. We're here for Growing with NTI. And yeah, Connie and I just had a lovely week together, but and then she left me again first thing Monday morning. So we'll do this instead. And we want to start with a prayer. Yeah, and we just want to express our gratitude for this opportunity to teach what we would learn and to get out of the way in order that that can happen. We're grateful for our friends and family here. We're grateful for our friends and family who aren't here. We're grateful for this platform and again for you to share.
I
So,
can only.
really? Because I can see my whole head. Sorry, we're still playing with this computer stuff. Any better? Okay, good. So last week we left off. We just started NTI after four. We were on page 340. Yeah, thank you. You, Cheryl. Noted that on the board. But I tell you what, Cheryl, we're going to back up since Connie wasn't here last week and this in context. We're going to back up to the beginning of Ephesians chapter 4, page 342 in NTI. There is one
Back
mind,
up where?
where I said before we went on, to page 342. You on page
Oh,
342?
okay, to chapter four, is that what you're, where you're starting?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right, thanks.
There is one mind and one spirit, and so there is one body in Christ. Okay, so Connie, I'm pausing for a moment because they say I'm cutting in and out.
Yeah,
So
you are.
I am. Marge says I'm cutting in and out too. Well, I don't know. Too bad. We can try it. We can try this the other way. We can try it. Connie can bring out Pal Talk. Kathy says I'm not cutting out. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I didn't think I was having issues today because normally, if I'm cutting in and out, then I was listening to Cheryl play the music, and in a second. Sounds better now. Not for me, Ken says. Okay. All right, so I'm going to go forward and Ken or Mark or whoever else wasn't Kathy. if I do start cutting in and out, one of you all will let me know. I can only assume that the I don't know. The others. There are no others. Cheryl left, so I don't know.
There's one mind and one spirit.
One mind and one spirit. There are no others. There's one spirit, and so there is one body in Christ.
What do you think that means? Oh, the next sentence says, this means.
This means there is no separation between thought and effect. all is one within the Son of God. And I appreciate you you actually, Connie, bringing that point up, because you know it's easy to just like go from one sentence to another and not really grasp it, particularly when we're, you know, when we're starting here. But what it says it means. There is one mind and one spirit, so there is one body in Christ. This means between thought and effect. So what does it mean? It means everything is consciousness. And, you know, only from a perspective where there are different bodies in a world that is separate from those bodies, different minds, could there be a lack of cause and effect. And only in a world of separation could there be cause and effect. It's all, and this is saying thought and effect. Janet's words with friends with me. it's always cause. There's no separation between the thought and the effect, because there's only consciousness.
So are we equating one mind and one spirit with thought and one body as effect?
No, we're not. We're saying there's only consciousness. So one mind, one spirit, one body, consciousness. So while we want things down into components, and we might break them down in components in order to speak about them, there is actually no separation between them. You know, it's like we talked about before, you know, it's like the hand as consciousness and the fingers as different expressions of consciousness. But it's all one thing. You know, even if I name this pinky mind and my ring finger body and my middle finger spirit, it's all just one thing. It's all just consciousness. There's, like Fred Davis says,
all right,
there's only one thing going on here. Yeah, go ahead. What?
I get there's only consciousness, relation between one mind, one spirit, body. And no separation between thought and effect.
Well, when we started out this book, Ephesians, what came to mind, of course, this is where Regina taught it, and this is what Ephesians is about. It's about the law of love, and it's what Regina had said, spirit giving to spirit through spirit that which spirit requests. So while it may sit, you are an independent actor who's being mean to me and therefore I'm the victim, this is not true. If I experience meanness and that meanness is delivered, it's because that's what I requested from you. So that's how there's no separation between thought and effect. It's all consciousness from itself, what it would expect.
Okay. Let me be clear.
All right.
I'm pretty sure that I understand what sentence one means. Uh-huh. Pretty sure I understand what sentence two means.
Okay.
I just don't know the correlation between sentence one and sentence two.
Well, I think it's all about, I appreciate that. What comes to me is that it's all about the code. Okay, all what we feed in.
All about the what?
The code.
All about the what? Oh.
And it's, you remember the code? Yes?
Yes.
So that what we, you know, well, like we've talked about before, on a it's that perceptual loop. You know, what I think I see, what I see I experience, what I experience I think, right? This is what creates my experience. And because there is only one mind and one spirit, which is consciousness, because there's only one consciousness, what we think collectively, you know, we do that perceptual loop thing collectively, all of that feeds into the experience that we're all having. So, so when it says there's no separation between thought and effect, that's what this is talking about. It's just that, you know, we're doing this to ourselves, the Course would say.
Okay.
All right. All is one within the Son of God. Therefore, give as you would receive. Give to the mind that which you would receive of spirit, for they are one. That which you give, you must receive, because the mind is the spirit. The mind is the great receiver, and spirit the great deliverer. But spirit receives as mind receives, and mind delivers as does spirit. Which is just saying what we just talked about, right?
Yep.
The mind and the spirit are one, so they listen as one and they deliver as one. You and your brothers are not separate from them, so that you listen and deliver as they do. Imagine one body, listening as one and delivering as one, and you understand the Christ. It is one body operating and functioning as one. Never is the body separate from its mind or its spirit. Are you with me?
I am. Yeah, I mean, I guess if everything is consciousness, then if nothing's outside of that one consciousness, then there couldn't be a separate thought and a separate effect.
Right.
Is the essence of it.
Right, yeah. Everything. Yeah.
Can you tilt your screen down just a little bit more so I can see your mouth? That'd help me a lot in hearing you.
Yeah, hang on. Let me put something under it. Is that better? That's so funny because in my little picture it shows me from like top of my ribs up.
Well, what happens is you sit back and you see the top of your head.
Oh, that's really.
Yeah, I can see all of you.
That's really interesting. All right, good. So let's pause for a minute. Let me ask you, Connie, how was your day?
I had lots of work to do when I got to work.
I bet.
But
yeah.
It was good.
After being off for a week, I bet you did.
Randy loved the T-shirts we got him.
Oh, good. Oh, David. Good. Good. Connie got a T-shirt for what's his title?
Operation manager.
Yes, her operations manager.
Vice president in charge of operations.
Yes, vice president in charge of operations for his wife. It was bears, and Connie got a T-shirt that showed a bear looking at a vehicle that had that picture, the stick the stick figure family on the back. Stick people on the back, mommy, daddy, kids, dogs, etc. And it said, oh, look, this one's got a menu.
On the glass.
Right here on the glass. Well, anyway. I'm glad
yeah,
you liked
it.
Good, good. All right, so let's start with verses 14 through 16. We're at the top of page 343 in NTI. There is no separation within the body of Christ. The body functions with one true desire. The desire of Christ is to know itself and to delude itself that thyself be known. Last week, I think I talked a little bit about this. I'm reading that book by, can't ever remember the guy's first name, Phil. He wrote Busting Loose from the Money Game. And he talks about there being two phases of the game, the human game. In the first phase, we're working to convince ourselves that all of this illusion stuff, all this stuff we've made out of consciousness, that it's real, that we're lacking, that we're limited. I mean, because that makes the game fun. I mean, if we knew that we were really not those things, then we wouldn't have been able to have the experience that it was. So we wanted the experience of struggling and being limited and all this stuff being real. We got that experience. But now, it's time to phase two. And in this first phase, just as in phase two, your unlimited self, I'm not sure what your expanded self, maybe he calls it, in the, yeah, this is all real true. And it did a really good job of convincing Drew. In the second phase, we're over the game. It's time to wake up. So that your expanded self is going to deliver you everything that you need to now wake up from the game. So it just seems to me that this is talking about the same thing. Okay, game over. Now let's all work to wake ourselves up.
Yeah. Yeah, and it occurs to me this all this this talk about the body is like a body of like the body of a book.
Right.
It's the itself as opposed to, you know, some legs.
Yes, very good. And you know, Christian, and who knows what it's saying in the Bible here, because that didn't tell me to open it, certainly in the Christian community about the church as the body of Christ, right? As embodying it, as being,
right,
you know, the content of Christ. So I think you're right on with that. Listen, there's one thing in regard to this paragraph in this sentence. The desire of Christ is to know itself and deliver itself unto itself. Regina's tip today, which I'm sure a lot of folks knock your socks off. It was really, really good. This is the one Regina last week said, oh, I wrote a tip. You all are going to be, I'm so excited. And you can see why, because this are, and I won't do it justice, but I'll mention it, how we are the light, and that our job as this center of light is to wake up fully, full light, and to cleanse the darkness that we find in ourselves and the quote-unquote world. So like, kind of like a washing machine, and we're this still frame around the clothes spinning in the center, and the clothes spinning in the center here is this darkness, right? So we cleanse so that when we experience something and it hurts our feelings or whatever, as we rest with that rather than reacting it as if it were real. As we rest with that, as the calm, still washing machine, the center, it cleanses the darkness. And then that goes back out into the world. And she said, and often people will darkness for you and throw it to you for you to cleanse and then put that back out into the world. She said, so for example, as you watch the news, you know, it will seem like, you know, gloom, despair, agony on me, right? Our job is to catch the darkness that's thrown to us, cleanse it by just being with it in stillness, and then release that back into the world. So this is the process of awakening. This is the process that's being talked about in this paragraph. The body functions with one true desire, the desire of Christ himself, and to deliver itself unto itself, that thyself be known.
Yeah, I love that that metaphor. I guess that's the right word, the metaphor for the light. And you think about how to explain that, and as you're saying that Regina, but you know, the light is like the knowing when the in cartoons they show it as a light bulb. Yeah. So the light comes on, and it fills, like you're saying, it fills the darkness.
Yeah. What I really liked about the I liked all of it, but what I really liked about it was the fact that this idea of people will throw us bits, you know, because
yeah.
Usually you feel shat upon rather than, you know, just oh okay, toss me that darkness, I'll clean, right?
Yeah.
So,
if that's the case, we better start.
Yeah, and how do we know that that's...
Instead of taking it personally and...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she said, how do you know this? Like, well, because you're here learning the material that you need to know to function in that way. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Cheryl wrote, consciousness in consciousness so that consciousness can heal and awaken to itself as consciousness. Your function as an aspect of consciousness that has been guided to this point in NTI is to be a healing, awakening point of consciousness. Yeah, that's what that whole washing machine metaphor was about. She's quoting from Regina. Okay. We're at the top of 343 in NTI, Ephesians 4. The body in to a true desire. Yeah, again, Connie, I think you're absolutely right about that body being like the body of Christ, like the Christian church, the content, rather than like somebody's physical human body. Yeah. The body is awakening to its own true desire while the remnants of a past thought seem to be in operation. But this past thought is not true desire and never been. It is a game that was played for experimentation. See it as a shift occurring within one body. And again, that's, you know, there's one mind, right? And she woke up and she's going to wake up next week and that one will never wake up. It's one body, one mind. You know, the spreading of the light in the one mind is how it's.
Yes, where we started, everything is only consciousness.
Right. See it as a shift occurring within one body. See it as a change in mind and focus. Determine where within the shift you choose to be and join the operation of the body there. Yeah, so, you know, this is like, are you going to be the one who keeps throwing the darkness and, until it all gets cleansed, or are you going to be this healing, awakening point of consciousness? You know, where are you in this shift? Are you on the wave, or are you going to be in the back kicking and screaming, right?
Caught in the backwash.
Right. Caught in the backwash. Very good. Determine where within the shift you choose to be and join the operation of the body there. The same shift that occurs within the body occurs within the aspect that is used. It's just so, just let me say that it's so cool because, again, it talks about in both microcosmic terms and macrocosmic terms. You know, just like we talked about the code, right? You know, you're going to experience this on your level, and what you're experiencing feeds into the whole, into the one mind. So it's just, it's really cool that it's like, you know, this shift in the body of Christ, all of y'all, right? The oneness, the one consciousness, this shift that's occurring is also occurring in what you, as you, right? What you experience as the individual.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's content in a bigger sense. And individually, because that's the way we talk about there being an individually,
right?
Or an individual,
right? The same shift that occurs within the body occurs within the aspect that is you. Your mind is your great receiver, and your spirit delivers as the mind accepts. In this way, you are the body, a microcosm, there's the word, a microcosm of all that is. Choose where within the shift you will stand and make all of your choices from there.
I think you just said that paragraph.
Yeah.
Just a moment ago.
Oops. Yeah. But this is where we talk about, choosing the higher vibration, you know, pausing long enough to see the higher vibration and then making that choice and then that, and where you stand in the shift.
Yeah, this kind of where we've been told that your eyes,
are projectors, not receivers?
Yes. Did you get that?
I got, that was my calendar telling me that gentle healing's going to start in half an hour.
Okay. I thought I'd been electrocuted.
Sorry. Yeah. You are a part of
all
the...
Right.
You ready? You hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. You are a part of the body of one. You are completely inseparable from it. What you choose of the mind and delivered by spirit back to you. This is the loop of experience. It's like a red ahead, isn't it? Red ahead.
Yeah.
This is the loop of experience. This is how existence makes for you that which you would receive. It gives based upon your choice. It makes for you that which you order.
So you think when they say it makes for you that which you order, like the hierarchy of ordering in a hierarchy?
Oh, no, I don't think they're talking about that order. I wouldn't have thought so. Maybe they are, but I wouldn't have thought so.
You know, ordering your thoughts.
Right. I would not have thought so. I would have thought they're going more like, you know, I have a Big Mac with cheese. Or, you know, I have a lifetime of suffering. Right?
I'd rather have the Big Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yeah, so you're just, so what I'm saying here is that I mean, if there's only one, so you're in that oneness, you can only pull from within that. So it is all gets real loopy. And it's all contained within that body.
It is, oneness. But you know, it's, you know how the fundamental Christians talk about Jesus having died for our sins. What I'm trying to say is, when you say it all gets pulled from that one consciousness because there is this is true. Consciousness can be seen clearly without the dark that we brought into the game. Back to Jesus dying for our sins. Judah and Lao Tzu and, you know, others before him, I'm sure, tapped into the clarity of consciousness. And by them doing that, they're doing what Regina St. Arf's job is, right? The same thing. It's to cleanse the bits of darkness that are thrown our way. And they did that for us already. So, yes, it's all in there. But absolutely pure consciousness is there to choose from. Because we're where we think we are, you know, because I think I'm a... I don't know why I can't ever remember how old I am. 50... because I think I'm a 56-year-old woman, you know, who has had this past and has, you know, this child and has had those husbands. You know, for most of us, it's a ladder of awakening. You know, it's like, what's the next highest available choice? Most of us don't have totally Byron Katie experience of spontaneous or sudden awakening. Most of us, I think, it appears to me to be, but who knows, but it appears to me that most of us climb out of the hole that we've dug based on our own beliefs, our cultural beliefs, and that sort of thing, one choice at a time. You know, one time. Right? And yeah. and to the same extent that we do that, we raise the vibration of the one mind. You know, we raise the vibrational choices even, so that the whole of the body of Christ gets pulled up that same awakening way. You know, I couldn't be over here doing it independently, and perhaps it's not heard by the whole body of Christ. It's not heard by the whole mind, right? It's, as A Course in Miracles says, every thought you have, and I think it says it in NTI as well, every thought you have is literally around the world. It's literally, you know, there because there's only one mind, every thought affects the one mind. So if you're climbing that ladder of awakening, you're not only doing it for yourself, you're doing it for yourself, right? Well, anyway, it spreads the light within the one mind is the point.
It kind of reminds me of that I Heart Huckabees were trying to explain it to that Dustin Hoffman's trying to explain it to, he's this psychiatrist or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to explain it to the guy, and he says it's like the sheep.
Right.
Said everything's here.
Everything's here. Over here you have an hamburger. A hamburger. Over here you have the Eiffel Tower.
Statue of Liberty. Or
yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. It's all one blanket.
Yeah. So So everything is one, and we've worked really hard to make it separate. And now we're coming full circle with the light, which is our true desire for ourselves to be known.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had enough of the game. That's our true desire, is to know. Middle of page 343, it says, make therefore your decision and then be true to it. The mind is receiver, but you choose from the mind. Watch the thoughts carefully. Do not choose those which you would not deliver, knowing all that is delivered can be given back to you. Pick the thought body, knowing that it is also you. Let go of all thoughts you would not keep, and they shall not be delivered. And, you know, this reminds me of what we've been seeing going on the political landscape. You know, it's like, you know, they're like, oh, I can't believe how intolerant those people are. I just want to kill them, you know, right? So that if you meet that animosity with that more animosity, that's what you're feeding into the one mind.
Right.
Rather than being the still washing machine of consciousness and grabbing that darkness when it's tossed to you, being the stillness, right? Just knowing the truth of who the body of Christ is, of who we are, rather than reacting to things as if they were real. Yeah.
It's what Regina was saying about picking the higher
vibrational choice.
Higher vibrational choice is, quit participating in the muck and the mire. Because when you participate in the muck and the mire, you spread the muck and the mire.
Right.
And you know, what you put back.
And what we all get back. Yeah. Yeah. Let go of all the thoughts you would not keep, and they shall not be delivered. Deliver in love, and you receive in love. For you deliver unto yourself. Know your happiness by realizing your truth and operating in it.
The Holy Spirit's got a nicer way of saying it than I do. I was wondering. The Holy Spirit has gone with the deliver in love and know your happiness, not the muck and the mire.
We got all perspectives on that. We are on page 3 of Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament, NTI, Ephesians chapter 5. I have written in the margin here, example, Connie and Marge. Let's see what this says, but I see the example there. Let's see. Ephesians 5. Be the imitators of God means be mindful of what you do. Know your purpose. Let purpose drive your every thought through designing thyself be known. And, I mean, I got to tell you that's just, again, I just come back to today. Today's tip, and that's what's so cool about it. You know, your purpose isn't to be respected by others, isn't to be well fed or well housed. You know, your purpose is not to whatever it is. It's like your purpose is awakening. Your purpose. For cleansing the seeming darkness. And so if you see your, and again, that's what I thought was so daggone cool. If you see your purpose as catching those balls of darkness as they're thrown to you and cleansing them, it changes everything. You know, You know, is my purpose to be happy? Is my purpose to be respected? Is it to be? No, it's none of those things. It's to cleanse the darkness. And it just changes, to me, it just changes everything.
And it certainly does relate to what we were reading back there on a former page about, you know, the one body of content, the one body of consciousness.
Right.
Your purpose is to be a part of that body.
Well, you don't have any choice about that, by the way.
No, I know, but your purpose is to be the higher.
Is to be on that leading edge of the wave, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and you and
yes, because you already are a part of that body. But do you want to be the muck and the mire part of the body, or do you want to be the higher consciousness leading the wave? Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Darkness.
I don't know why he wrote Mom and I.
Well, wait a minute. I'm not there yet. This is the next paragraph. Hang on. Hang on.
All right. Calm down. I heard you.
Connie hates to be told, calm down. Calm down, Connie. I'll get to it. Of the past. Because darkness is of past thoughts when you were. Now, as you know, look on darkness with new eyes. Look on darkness as the past, the result of past thoughts reflected back to you. Choose not to experience the past again. Choose now a different experience, and it is in you. Now to know love through your being of love, and it is love that answers you. Yeah, I see why I wrote that in the margin now. I don't know that it's worth going into. I just so let me do that and talk about the content of this paragraph, and then we'll see if we get there. But it's this choose not to experience the past loop that we talked about. What I see, I experience. What I think, see, what I see, I experience, what I experience, I think. So that if you believe what's coming in, any darkness that you seem to be experienced as real, and that darkness as if it's real, you keep yourself within that loop of perception. You know, that's to continue to choose the lower vibrational choice, right? You know, you say something nasty to me, I say something nasty back, and the nastiness just goes around and around and around. To choose the higher vibrational choice would be to see that that's not real, that it's a effect from the game that we chose to play, in which we thought we were separate and limited and mean and nasty and didn't have anything to do with that one another. That's the phase one, right? And that all of this was real, all of this illusory stuff was real. And so when we see that, we have to remember, oh yes, that was a result of the game that I chose to play, but I'm tired of that game. And I want to be on the leading edge of the wave out of the game. I want to be the washing machine, the darkness that's been thrown to me, and spreads the light, the cleanliness, back through the one mind. Now, you can speak.
Well, This seemed to give some validity to linear time, and kind of what you were saying is we be in a two-stage process where we have been ignorant of ourself with a capital S, and we played the game of not knowing, of the darkness, the ugliness, but now we are ready, in fact, time to stop playing the linear game, always reverting back to our past to tell us what is true. And kind of break that loop.
Yeah, and I guess if we're going to throw the element of time into it, what I'm going to say about it is that I think this relates to the Marge and Connie story. There was a time when Marge and Connie and I were living together, where I thought they were being mean to me.
Mean to me.
poor pitiful me. And that was genuinely my experience. I mean, that was they tell this story differently. My experience. And so what was required of me was to see the unreality of it, even though it's like it just seemed to be in my face, right? Literally in my face. It was like, this can't be the truth. This can't be the truth, even though it seems to be my experience, my present experience. This can't be the truth. And once I changed my mind about it, the whole dynamic changed. You know, everybody got loving, and I know you all tell the story differently, but and Connie would tell the story, once Jacqueline got loving, we were loving back. But I mean, but that really is the way that worked out, because I mean, at the end, regardless of what version of the story you adopted, we were in a loving environment. And so the reason that I did have a different experience once I ignored the evidence in my present experience, and that's where I wanted to talk about the time thing, because it's not like we're just like ignoring the past. You know, not relying on our past insights or what somebody did in the past, or, you know, to inform what we're doing now. What I really think this is talking about is hatred or dishonesty or maltreatment, and knowing that even though there seems to be solid evidence for it, even though it's right there in front of us, and I'm talking about, you know, looking at war, looking at, you know, seeing a hobo beat up, seeing a school shooting, looking at that and realizing that the only reason we're experiencing that is because of what it was that we wanted to see in the past, is because we wanted to have an experience of something other than the truth of who we are, which is perfect peace, perfect love, perfect freedom, right? So so this is not just talking about, you know, don't base your decisions today on what happened yesterday. What it's saying is, as this darkness confronts you, as this darkness is in your face today, looking at the abused child, looking at the war, looking at the person who seems to be nasty, you got to go, this, I know what this is. This is an illusion based on a past desire to be what I'm. By choosing to know that, you lift the whole of consciousness closer to remembrance of what it really is. Does that make sense? Even in the face of all this darkness, ugliness that might be going on. Right?
Okay. Yeah, it's really the forgiveness principle again.
Yeah.
That what we're seeing is not the real truth of the self.
Right.
So not to base your actions based on the darkness that seems to be appearing.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sorry that some of you are having a hard time hearing. Yeah, I don't know what to say about it, but. Okay. Choose not to experience the past again. Choose now a different experience, and it is something different that will be given you. Choose now to know love through your being of love, and it is love that shall answer you. This is the loop of ecstasy. Your past thoughts stand now reflected back to you because they have come as you have asked. Be grateful for the process that is you. Be grateful for all it is and all it teaches you, for it teaches clearly what you are. Okay, good, Philip. I'm glad you're getting better mic coverage, whatever. Sorry, I'm glad you can hear me. But, you know, just this just points to the power that we have, the power of creation. You know, the power that we had to imagine ourselves as something completely opposite from what we are. It also points to the...
Yeah, and it always...
You go.
It always reminds me of Dad's explanation of that when he talked about, you know, that God is everything perfect and whole and divine, and we had the desire to experience not God. So if you have a desire to not perfectness, not wholeness, not divinity, that's what we decided to experience, and now that process is being changed because now we have that desire to experience that.
The truth of who we are.
Which is God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Okay. Be thankful that you have learned and do not fear the past. It is merely a reflection. Now realize your truth and all it means for you. Off light that light may come back to bless. Give off light because light is the reflection of your truth. Give off light because light is the expression of your joy, and all that you would give or ask now is joy because joy is all that is necessary. The process that you are, in conjunction with your brothers, is a process meant for joy. And so, it is a process you will now use for the of joy. Makes sense. It's who we are, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I see that it's... yeah, somebody else is coming in the room and they're having problems hearing as well. I don't know, folks. You know, my internet's not been the greatest, so I apologize for that. I'm glad some of you could hear us some of the time. We'll fool the rest of y'all next week. Season. All right. We love you, and we'll be back next week and talk about this more, hopefully with a little bit more clarity in the computer process and maybe a little bit more clarity in the mind as well.
Yeah. No. Thank you, buddy. Thanks for everybody once again for allowing Jacqueline and I to share this time with each other and you all putting up with this while we share it and being a part of our experience, because it's really great to get to do this. So only would wish this on everybody, that they would have somebody they could share this with, and then get to say it to other folks. So it's really lovely. Thanks again.
Sweet, Connie. That's very sweet. I love you. Okay, guys. Cheryl's wanting to know where we started. We started today with Ephesians chapter 4 and went through Ephesians chapter 5 verses 8 through 14. Okay, letting go of the mic. See y'all next time.